go! Welcome to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast with your host, Steve Schaubecker. Get ready to get behind the scenes look into what it really takes to grow a business from scratch in the firearms industry. Join us as we welcome industry titans, Second Amendment enthusiasts, and special guests each week. I welcome you to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.
Welcome back to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Steve Schaubacher, your host. And today I'm privileged to welcome the one and only Sammy Knight. Sammy, why don't you just take a minute and tell everybody about yourself, kind of what you do, what you've done, what you're into. I know everything already, but they don't. So,
okay. Sammy Knight, I'm an older guy with a young brain. Let me put it that way, with a whole lot of energy and I've seen a lot of things in my life. I'm married to my high school sweetheart. I've been dating her for 47 years, married to her for 42, and got two boys that, when they were little, we called them the informant and the perpetrator because they were a pretty good tag team against me and my wife. And then, two grandchildren, worked in corporate America for a long time. And then finally realized that I'm not a good employee, that's not a bad thing. It's just, I had a different belief in, the single most valuable asset we have is people. And, sometimes in corporate America, people were truly just what you hear the number. And so, once I finally realized that, then, started moving into the entrepreneurial environment, was in the outdoor business with a number one camo company in the world now. They weren't when I went to work there, but Mossy Oak, and then I moved into real estate, had a business overseas in China, you know, lived over there, opened up business in 60 plus countries. So I'm an old country boy from Mississippi that was blessed and fortunate to do a lot of things. But the one thing that I've always been, I've always considered myself to be, have a love for outside of my family is hunting. I love the outdoors. So that's kind of me in a short term.
Oh, that's awesome. Sammy. The other thing people don't know about you that, that I found the most intriguing, and I told you this earlier, is, you know, when you get to, meet Sammy. It's like you've known him for a long time, even though you just met him. It just reminds me of so many people in my life that I've known just from the past when I was a kid, especially. And the other thing about Sammy is he's normally pretty quiet, reserved guy. Just you know, always listening. You can tell that he's always taking everything in. But boy, when he opens his mouth, just watch out, because it's like opening a fire hose. Just the I couldn't write stuff down fast enough a couple of times. Sammy and I met through a group called Apex. It's a mastermind where you kind of go to hone yourself and really just to make yourself the most elite version of yourself in all areas. You know, good portion of it is business, but there's a bunch of other stuff in too. And just Sam was just one of the guys that I just connected with, and I'm like, I got to get to know that guy more. You know, you have this aura about you, Sammy, but, you know, tell us a little bit more about, you know, how does hunting relate to business? You know, how do those two things correlate for you?
You know, I think that if you're a hunter, like I have been for all my life, it's a strategy game, you know, and I look at the animal that I'm hunting. God put that animal on this earth and gave him all the tools and knowledge that animal needed the second they were born. We have to go to school. We have to learn from people that have done it before. And then we have to formulate our own approach to how we're going to take on life and business and everything that surrounds us. And so to me, hunting a wild animal, that's the best of the best, you know, and to put a strategy together to outfox them and have the luxury of harvesting the animal. I'm not a killer of trophies, if you will, and hang stuff on my wall, even though I do have things on my wall. All of the animals that I've ever been fortunate enough to harvest go on my dinner table. I'm a big fan of the meat. It's the best there is. It's raised by Mother Nature. It's not pumped with antibiotics and everything else, growth hormones and everything else to make it grow. It's raised on the land, and it's just a cool thing to do. I'll give you an example. So turkey hunting is one, you know, the gobbler, the tom, he gobbles to draw during the breeding season. He gobbles to draw the hens to him. And then once he gets the hens to him, then he takes charge of his group of girlfriends, if you will. And the majority of the calling that we do and the strategy that's tied to that is we mimic a hen. So we're trying to reverse nature. He was put on this earth to gobble so the hens will come to him. Once he gets his hens, he shuts up. Well, we're trying to reverse nature and get him to come to us. And oftentimes when we're yelping, is the term, we're trying to call the lead hen to us and she brings him with her. So it's just a game of strategy. And if you think about business, every day we're hunting business and the strategies are similar. There's someone out there that's wanting to win the battle before me. And then there's someone out there that's keeping the distance and not allowing me to get as close as I need to cut the deal. So I learned my business skills at an early age, listening to my father and my grandfather and my uncle, and teach me how to do this game that I love so much. And, you know, and then from there, I've had the privilege of meeting, entertaining, getting to know some of the biggest people you can imagine in the business world, professional world, athletes, singers, you name it. And it's kind of cool because it's an environment that once you put the camo on, if you will, we're all equal. You can't out sing me and I can't out sing you. And that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's amazing. Like what you see when you compare like just animals to people, and a lot of things that people don't realize is they do things and don't overthink them. You know, I think even as business people, a lot of times we're overthinking things and we're always trying to make things better, which innovation is great. But there's some points where you hear about people will just think and sit on their hands and do nothing. You know, whereas in the animal world, you know, they're getting after it. They're doing what they're going with their gut, and they're just moving. Sometimes they'll get it wrong too, but then they'll course correct and they just naturally do it. And they're just following their instincts. And I think that's one thing as business people that we really need to get in touch with a little bit better these days. You know, it's interesting. I was hearing the other day on, it was actually on a guy's motivational speech, was talking about like how animals, you know, have it down. Like when he was specifically talking about giraffes. So like when he's talking about when a giraffe is born, the first thing it faces is adversity. And it makes it tough because of it. You know, it falls roughly 6 feet out of its mother to the ground. And then it immediately starts to get up. And then the first thing the mother does, as soon as it gets up, it kicks the legs out from underneath it, makes it fall down. And it keeps continuing to do that on and on and on until it's so exhausted that it can't possibly get up. And then it forces it to get up. And then, but you know, it's just wild that the story that what it's basically teaching is how to survive, you know, from literally being 5, 10, 15 minutes old, whatever the, however long the process goes on, and having that kind of a wake up call, you know, no games, no playing, let's move, you know, no feelings involved. Yes. You know, I love you. You're my baby, but you know, we gotta go. This is what's necessary to get, you know, to accomplish what we want to accomplish. And I think if we as business people embrace that mentality, just and embrace that, it would really serve us, you know, really, really serve us.
Think about how many times in business you get knocked down and how many times we want to go, I think I'm going to stay down this time. And if you had what you would have missed, and instead you took the time, put the energy in place to get back up, dust yourself off and go attack that business that you had out there in front of you, or the opportunity that you had in front of you. You know, it's the survival of the fittest. And I think forever we have changed a lot of times in business where we have a lot of, I call them birds in the nest, you know, where they got their mouth open and they're waiting to be fed. And then you got the one bird that gets up on the edge of the nest and is real wobbly and looking around, you know, and just turns those wings out and damn, I flew. They always hit the ground hard, but then they figured it out and they did it, do it again and again and again. And there's a never say never. And just imagine in business, if that's our approach, is never say never. Trust me, buddy. I have had my teeth kicked out way more times than I want to admit, and missed the mark way more times than I can even count. But I kept getting up and I kept pushing. And along the way, had some great people that gave me a chance and, you know, that kind of sponsored me, if you will. Every company needs people internally that can kind of sponsor you. And I think part of my responsibility now going forward is to do the same in return, you know, and sponsor young folks. And it's not just about youth, but people middle-aged that are still trying to find their place. And so I want to help them get there because I know what it's like, truly know what it's like, but kind of got all my teeth cut with building strategies and planning. You know, I'm going to go back to the hunting. I'm not the caveman here, but hell, I'm almost that old. I'm going to go back to the hunting part and you got to plan to be successful. And what's different in business? You got to plan to be successful. You can't, not everybody walks out there and instantly they hit it out of the park, you know. Happens sometimes, but if you're not planning that success or see that end result, think about hunting. You know, I see that harvest in the future. I know it's going to happen. And I start with the table. I see my table set with that great meat sitting on my table. You know, I have a friend of mine that he always believed when he saw a deer walking by, most people see horns. He saw a hamburger bun on each side. That's kind of me, you know, but if you approach your business the same way, with the end result in sight and plan to that, it sure does make it a whole lot better.
Absolutely. That's another key. I think people can learn that in so many aspects of your life, you know, even when it gets to the point of, you know, planning your days or planning your time or how you're beaten, you know, how you're you know, biting off chunks of things to get to where you want to get. You know, for me, I always set everything down in basically in a year. I try to figure out, you know, what do I think I can accomplish this year, or what's my major goals, and then both as like an individual and then as a family unit first, but then also for my business, so that my business serves me and my family, not the other way around. And it doesn't always work out perfect like that. You know, you always get pulled into things and you have to sometimes give yourself a gut check and, you know, why am I doing this? But you get to the point of you break it down into a year and then you figure out what you think you can do. And then I always try to at least add 50% or double it or, you know, whatever that looks like to make stretch myself. Because if you believe you can do it right off the bat, then you're not stretching yourself far enough. And then just break that year down into 90-day chunks, and then the 90-day chunks down into weeks. And then by looking at things that way, I make sure that each week I'm taking action that's moving me closer to that big year-long goal. And it's amazing how the way that can compress time and just really can make you hit the things that you want to, you know. And it's not always business related, you know. That's awesome that you've been married to your wife for so long. That's getting increasingly rare. I'm going to actually celebrate my 25th, this January. Thank you. Everybody always asks us what's your secret? You know, how did you stay married so long? I just always tell the truth. I said, well, we're just both very, very stubborn people, and we don't like failure, you know? So it's, it is what it is. There's nothing special. You know, we figured out some things, but, you know, been married 25 years. And I think, maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, I think we finally got everything, not everything figured out, but I mean, we're doing, things pretty darn smooth, a pretty darn well-oiled machine now. But my wife's name's Katrina, love her very much. But you know, it's just amazing how fast you know, time flies, and that if you don't take the time to just enjoy those moments, you know, whether it's out in the woods or whether it's, you know, with the family or whatever, it just flies by. I think I especially started thinking more like that since I have a 4-year-old grandson now, and ever since he was born, I was just like, man, did my kids grow up fast? Man, did everything fly by? You know, it's like, man, you know. And I also think back about the time when I was working for somebody else, much like you. I kind of started out working for other people and ended up, I was doing basically high end audio video, security cameras, all those sorts of things for really high end residences. For some of the, you know, you get people put $500,000 in audio video into a house, and you know, it was all kinds of big names in Chicago business and entertainment and whatnot. But doing that, and then you know, things started slowing down, and then I ended up, I had a real cushy job. I was doing project management, and it was a great gig, paid well, easy, you know. But the next thing you know, they decide, well, you know what, we don't need your department anymore. You know, you and your guys, you're all laid off, and boy, that was a wake up call. You know, I sat around for about maybe 6 months just collecting unemployment and feeling sorry for myself and playing the, you know, poor me game. And then I finally figured out that, you know, hey, maybe I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be, and, well, you know, it wasn't supposed to do. And, you know, ended up, you know, starting my first business. You know, this was over 20 years ago, but just figuring out that, you know, maybe I'm really not wired like anybody else. You know, I'm not, you know, we're just different, and that's okay. You know, that's definitely okay. It's not for everybody, and some people just don't understand it. I don't know if you went through this at all, but like for me, with my parents were, you know, I always felt like they're in my corner, but they didn't understand this whole, like, you can't start a business. You can't work for yourself. You know, when are you going to get a job, son? Son, what's wrong with you? When are you going to get a job? You know, and it wasn't really until, like, I started having, like, a lot more of, like, brick and mortar things, and they could come to offices and see stores, and then they're kind of like, oh, you kind of do have a job. You know, and then you take them on a nice vacation, and they're like, oh, you really do have a job. You know, but that was interesting for me. And I'm sure every entrepreneur, business person out there has went through some form of that, whether it's friends or family or whatever, just not getting it, just don't understand the vision. And what people don't realize is that every corporation out there, no matter how big, in almost all cases was started by a person with a dream, you know?
No, that's exactly right. I was fortunate enough in the camo business to work with a brilliant guy, was a minority owner, Toxie Hayes, just a genius. He had an idea about taking camo pattern, the old military elliptical shape pattern, and he took a magic marker and he drew bark lines in it. And that's how he started on a piece crazy. And it's a phenomenal business, but you know, what he did was he allowed his mind to dial in this instance where his passion was. But at the end of the day, if you think about what we do in work, it's all tied to our passion. We're doing things that we love. You know, you mentioned about your wife and your marriage in 25 years, and I've been with mine for a long time. And I think what I do every day, and I tell anybody that I ask, my wife was my girlfriend first. I do my very best to never, ever let that change. She's still my girlfriend today. If you think about when you started dating, you talked more. Communication was easier. Mm-hmm. And you talk about other stuff. And, you know, then we go through the time of having children and grandchildren and, you know, life going crazy, and those are things we forget. And you always see folks as they get a little older, they're posting date night and all that kind of stuff. And there's a reason for that, because you want to get back to where there's nothing in the way and you can talk to this person, you know, and if you got the kind of relationship that we should have with our spouse. There's nothing that's gonna keep you from succeeding. And so I'm a firm believer in that. Trust me, dude, I screwed up a lot. I promise you I screwed up a lot. I went a 10-year period where I traveled 280 days a year. I was gone. My children were young. I think that's why I'm so attached to my grandchildren today, is because when my children were small, I was trying to make a living. And when I finally reached that pinnacle of success, you know, the very first thing I wanted to do was I left a very high 6-digit annual income company or business to start my own, because I wanted to get back to what I had, you know. And I think it all goes back to what I said. You know, I use hunting as a example, but it's all about planning and strategy. And, you know, I met this girl when I was in high school, and when I was on our second date, I made my mind up. I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her. Now, I think I scared her to death when I told her that on our second date. I'm surprised she went back out with me again, you know, but, it's how we set that mind, you know? And I think that's the draw that I have at Apex. I've learned a lot over my life, and I want to share it with everybody that I can, but that's a pretty cool initiative that Ryan Stoneman's established. And it's about that mindset. And you think about what you said, and the mindset that you have today versus when you were working for somebody, what would it have been like if that same mindset would have been in existence when you worked for somebody? You may have owned that company. No reason.
It's crazy, man. I see some of these young guys we got in the group that are coming up, and like, you're how old? You know, I mean, I'm 47. So I can't talk. I'm still young, but I see these 20 somethings and I'm like, you guys are just little, you know, you guys are just little young men still. And you have your head screwed on straight. And, you know, it's like, I see that too. It's funny, 'cause I see that in my son. My son just, he's 21. He's going to be 22. Just finishing up the police academy. All of our cop friends are telling him to be a firefighter. You know, he said, "Hey, you're going to work less. You're going to make the same. People are going to like you when you show up on a call. And if you're into it, you get to have slumber parties." You know, but nobody could talk him out of it. He's like, "No." He's like, "I know that's what I'm supposed to do." You know, and of course, you know, as a dad, I would love to have welcomed him into one of my businesses, and, you know, kind of, but, you know, I get where he's coming. I get since he was little. I mean, when he was a little kid, you get a kick out of this story. So he was always a great kid. Always did well in school. However, for the several years of elementary school, we heard the same story when every teacher's conference, and they come in and say, "Oh, Christian's just a great kid. You know, I like him. He's just so polite. He's so nice. He does so well. There's just this one little issue we need to work on." Like, "Well, teacher, what's that? What can we do? We'll work with him at home." "Well, if we could just get him to stop enforcing the rules, if we could just get him to worry about himself and not pointing out everything to everybody at all times." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." So we figured out, you know, that he was probably going to go into law enforcement at some point, but he's changed a little bit. You know, he's not as much of a stickler, thankfully, or I'd probably get a ticket from him. But you know, that's the one thing about him is at his age, I just look back and say, man, if I would have had my head screwed on that straight at, you know, 21, 22 years old, I mean, I just think of, you know, hey, what could I have accomplished? Where would I be right now? You know, what, but, you know, we each have our own path. I have to believe that it's perfect. You know, it was created by God for us. And that's just my belief, and that, you know, it's all, everything happens for a reason. So why why I went through what I did and why I'm where I'm at is, you know, because it's where I'm supposed to. And, you know, certainly got a lot long ways to go and going to get after it, you know?
Yeah. The cool thing about your son, being the old guy in the room, I can honestly say, and I've never met your son, he built that foundation from good parenting. So wherever you may have felt you could have done better, you did pretty damn good parenting, you and your wife. So congratulations for that.
Thank you. We tried. He used to always give me a hard time when he was younger because, and I don't know if it was how I was raised, but I was an only child, but like I always held him to just a slightly higher standard than my daughters, just ever so slightly. And I don't know why I did that. I just did. But it's funny. I'm going to send you a picture of him and I together later, and you're going to bust up because people always crack up because we look exactly the same. You know, he's a little younger. I mean, but I mean, he's, you know, he's same thing. He got our, the curse from my uncles of the early baldness. So, you know, he started 21. It was getting pretty thin on top and he was sick of people giving him a hard time. So just much like me. So the two of us together next to each other, we get mistaken. It's just hilarious. He'll go walking in one of our shops and now people think at a distance that he's me. But anyway, I'll send it over. You'll get a kick out of it. So.
Man, I appreciate his commitment to, you know, I'm like I say, I'm an older guy, so I didn't realize this when I was younger, but boy, it sure is nice to go to sleep at night and wake up in the morning and not have to worry about somebody kicking down my door. And it's people that are protecting me and my wife and my kids and my grandchildren. I don't even know them, but they're doing it, you know? So that's quite a commitment by your son. And I know y'all are really proud of him. So that's awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sure are. What's the biggest lesson you think you've learned? I know you're like me, you're constantly learning, trying to get better. Why don't you share with everybody just off the cuff? What's the most recent lesson you've learned in business? And you know, what did you do? What adjustments did you make? What change in your tactics did you make to turn a, you know, adversity or something, you know, into something positive or into growth?
You know, gosh, I've got so many lessons in my life. It's not even funny. But I'll tell you about one recently. And this was about, almost 3 months ago. And it's on the real estate sales side of our business. And so I'd been pushing our brokers to, you know, reach out and recruit. It kind of hit a lull. They were still growing the business, but it kind of hit a lull. And I'm pushing them. And my firm broker, thank goodness for him having enough the kahunas to jump back at me. And he said, you're pressuring us to do this for the wrong reasons. And if you think it's that easy, you get your ass out there and do it. I'm also smart enough to know that I want people to speak to me when something's on their mind. Some folks can't allow that to happen and they blow up and they run them off and it just becomes a problem. I take it constructively. So he was right. So I said, you know, that's a good point. Let me see. Let me jump out here and do this. I'll be the big boy in the room. And so I did my homework and I talked to a couple of folks, one of which is in the group, Keith Pike, and kind of got my ducks in a row. And so I started recruiting and, I'm very specific, very rifled approach. You know, I'm not shooting a shotgun blast. Once again, back to my hunting years. And I take this rifle approach and I reach out to 12, agents that I want to recruit. And I've been hearing all these stories and I've been telling my brokers and all, this is the word out there. And this is how many it's going to take to touches and all that. So I've reached out to 12, invited them to lunch. 3 didn't respond. 2 said they would, but we haven't had the lunch yet. So that's got me down to about 7. And 4 of them have come on board and the other 2 will be coming on board before the end of the month. And so I was taught a lesson because somebody was willing to speak out of frustration. And I was willing to listen and dissect the frustration element out of it and say, okay, is he telling me something that I can do and help and be better? In turn, now my brokers are back in the game. It's like, golly, that son of a bitch, he did it. And so I led by example, but truthfully, they led by example. I just jumped in their shoes and saw if I could find a hole in it, you know. And so good learning experience, and it was recent. And we're better for it. All of us are better. And my broker that spoke up came to me later and said, man, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I apologize. I shouldn't do that. I'm like, why? Tell me why you shouldn't do that. What'd you do wrong? You didn't say anything wrong. You didn't do anything wrong. I asked for that response. I just didn't probably ask for it in that fashion, but I asked for it. And I think we have to learn to be bigger when we get that response and realize we did ask for it, you know, and not lash out, not strike. And, you know, and so learning experience for both he and I. But if I sat down and started talking to you about all my learning experiences, man, enough time left. I'm going to run out of life. I got a lot of them.
Well, that's awesome. That's a great example too. And that's pretty killer. Out of the 12 you approached, you'll have half on board. Those are some pretty darn good numbers there, and nobody can argue with that. And the cool thing about you doing it too, that I've learned kind of as the boss, is that sometimes when you do things, you know, we'll uncover different ways of doing things than one of our employees would. And then it's kind of neat because we can document that and go back and they'll say, well, how'd you get that done so quick? Or how'd you get that done right? Or how'd you whatever? And how'd you close that customer? And then you can go back and say, well, hey, here's what I did. If, you know, maybe if you take maybe some of these things will be extra tools you can stick in your toolbox, you know, to help you with those things, or just a different approach, just a fresh set of eyes can be everything. You know, it's interesting that the process reminded me just of like, you know, it's interesting trying to find help these days. And we spent a lot of time, you know, trying to hire basically a GM for a full-time manager for our one store we had open, and then another one that's opening up, and we hired them both at the same time. And it took a long time. We went through a lot of applications and a lot of people. And, you know, one of the tests that, you know, was just, hey, are people receptive if you speak directly? You know, a lot of people are wanting everything sugar-coated on a gold platter these days. And, you know, it's like, no, I'm telling them the truth. Hey, this is going to be hard work. This isn't going to be easy. You know, you're going to deal with all different sorts of people. You know, 99% of our customers are fantastic and, you know, easy to deal with and just great people. There's that 1%. And we have no problem telling those 1% that, hey, there's a bunch of other places you can shop. You know, do you need help finding one? You know, but people won't do that these days. People are just appalled that, you know, you would treat a potential customer that way. Well, no, you know, we found the best. You know what? We're not for everyone. I'm certainly not for everyone. You know, I'm an acquired taste. You know, I'm a pretty nice guy, but I don't mince words anymore. I'm done with that. And if people get offended because of it, or they don't like something I have to say, well, they can find something else to do or find somebody else to go talk to. I don't really care, you know, but these days it's just really interesting. The market of just what people's expectations are and like, in some points, the lack of overall motivation. You know, it seems like it's harder and harder to find, you know, just the hustle. Well, you know, that's all about just the hustle and the getting after it and owning, you know, here, take responsibility for this. And, you know, this is yours, you know, whether this does well or does not, it's, you know, it's your baby, you know, you take care of it. And just trying to find the right people. Have you noticed that all in real estate? Have you had a lot of trouble, you know, especially with the younger folks these days, trying to get people that believe, like, you know, you're old school, you know, you're like me, you're old school, and just getting people to just embrace that work ethic and that taking care of people and that no nonsense. That's how I view you anyway, you know?
Yeah, no, I do find that a lot because, man, I cut my teeth banging my head against the wall, and so many don't want to. And I think that's what Stueman's bringing to the dance for a lot of people is put in the work. And what I find is so many of them don't want to put in the work. It's been handed to them. And you know, I'm real clear. If you want to make seven digits, you can do it, but you're going to put in the work. And you're going to put in the work to build that kind of model out there, you know. And there's no other option. You made a mention a second ago about that 1% that customers you got to kind of tell to go find somewhere else. Guy told me a long time ago, gosh, I bet it's 35 years ago, but I have never forgot it. He said, the biggest lesson you're going to learn in business is to know when to fire your customer. Mm-hmm. And I have stuck with that. And there's times you've got to look at them and say, you know, it's just like hiring people. Know when to fire them before you hire them.
Yeah.
You know, and I that passion of somebody making a good pitch in an interview makes it easy to go, well, I really need this job, and I get them hired. But we as owners and operators, even people that are foremen and, you know, manage folks, we've got to find that either that diamond in the rough inside or that piece of coal that's not going to change. And if we're not open-minded enough to reach in there and find that, then we're probably hiring, not probably, sometimes we're hiring somebody we're going to fire. And when we fire them, it's going to give us that mental anguish, you know. So I'm a big believer in fire them before you hire them. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And just never be afraid to fire your customer. If they aren't adding the value and seeing the relationship between you and them, then you don't need them. And more importantly, they don't need you. So learn how to do it. It's hard. Good gosh. Whew. It is hard, but can be rewarding if you do the right thing.
Yeah, they're not going to be happy in the end anyway. You may put off the inevitable, but sooner or later, you're going to do something else, or they're going to say something. It's not going to be a good fit. If it's not a good fit, it's not a good fit. And you gotta, people got to stop apologizing for who they are. You know, at your core, you've got your core values and your core beliefs, and you know they are what they are, and you are who you are. And you need to be okay with, you know, I don't need everybody to like me. I don't need everybody to believe what I believe. I don't necessarily care if people believe the same things I do. You know, I mean, as far as on some subjects, but at the end of the day, especially in business, your employees have to embrace your core beliefs, you know, your core values. And if they don't, then it's just a matter of time before they exit. And you're going to waste, you know, a whole lot of time. I think the biggest problem I've had with our IT company, some sales guys, we've had big issues. We've had some shysters, and I learned a lot of hard lessons. I mean, I learned some 6-digit lessons. I mean, we had one guy that I'll call it shook us down, because there's no other way to put it. Shook us down for about 60 grand altogether. I let it go on for 8-9 months. And so we hired him as a sales guy. He was getting out there trying to get out there in the new territory. Was filling stuff in CRM. It looked like he was busy. You talk to him and he's got this going, he's got that going, he's got this going, got that going, doing quotes for him and everything else. Time keeps going by and it's just, we're not closing anything. We're not even getting to the point where I'm like, is there any meetings you want me to come to? Can I help you close something? He goes, oh, no, I got this. And the funny thing is, when I hired this guy, he just seemed great, seemed really good, but we were really heavy on commission, you know, where our structure was, you know, real small base salary, very, very, very aggressive commission structure. So somebody could really do well if they were hungry, you know. So he comes up to me, you know, after the interview, says, you know, hey, I'd love to take the position. However, you know, can you help me out? You know, I've got a wife and 3 kids, and you know, one of my kids has some extra needs and this, and that gives me this story. And I'm just pours, seemingly what I thought he was pouring out his heart to me. No, this guy was a con man of epic proportions. Find out later, the dude doesn't even have any kids. I don't think he was even married. And while he was working for me, supposedly knocking doors and visiting and doing stuff, he was still working full time for his last job. So, and then when I called him down, cause I kind of figured it out and called him down, wanted to come down to the office, and, you know, he comes down and gets all upset, gets unhinged, just unhinged. I thought I was going to have to put hands on him and throw him out of our office because I made him come down to let him go. I'm like, where I'm from, dude, we do things face to face, especially if it's something serious like this. I was going to give you a chance to answer any questions, or at least if I got it wrong somehow, defend yourself. But no, he just got unhinged, and it's just crazy. I'm just like, man, what kind of stuff is going on in this guy's mind? But just goes to show you, it's just so hard sometimes just to find good help. And man, if I would have just See, back then my gut must not have been in tune, or I didn't get squirrely. I thought this dude was legit. I mean, he got me good. He got me full board. But there's been others too have had sales guys leave and going through their CRM, and of course we have another sales guy try to follow up, and especially for proposals that are out there that were out there at the time, and who had somewhere they call these leads and who are you with? What? Did you talk to this guy? No, I didn't talk to that guy. I don't know who that is,
That's not any way. And that way forever.
Yeah.
You get rid of somebody. I've been in the sales and marketing business forever, but you get rid of somebody and you follow up on, and I would personally sometimes follow up with their client base, and they're like, man, I hadn't seen him in over a year. We're supposed to see 2 weeks, it's like, wow, I screw up. But that lesson, that $60,000 lesson, maybe it's expensive, but valuable.
Very valuable.
Because it puts your practices in place now so that you're a little step ahead of it. And the guy's not going to get that deep into you again. And the other thing it probably taught you is a lot of times we listen with our heart, because that's just sometimes the right thing to do. But it teaches us how to put that bullshit meter wall that slides out that says, okay, that's enough of the heart. Now we're going to have to talk to the mind, and it just teaches you how to be better. And good for you not to fold up into a cocoon and go, oh, what an idiot I am, but to say, I got it, I learned from it, and I'm going to win the next time. I go back to my hunting comment.
Yep.
I go hunt the animal that I want to harvest, and I don't get that. What I do wrong? I got to go back, rethink it, do my strategy over, and attack it another way. May have to move a stand, may have to come in a little different time, afternoon versus morning, just whatever it may be. And that's a great, expensive lesson. It's up to you to make that a valuable lesson. I think there's a distinct difference.
Yeah, we either win or we learn, one or the other. Those are the only two possible outcomes. One thing I do, Sammy, if you haven't listened to that, I do on the show every time, is I always ask my guests, or if I'm doing a solo episode, I do it myself, but just to offer one productivity tip. What is like one thing you do as part of your daily routine or part of your weekly, or how you plan things out or whatever? Just one quick tip that we can end with and throw to our listeners to help them kind of get some more out of tomorrow.
I'm going to answer that with three comments, if that's okay.
Awesome. Yeah, perfect.
First thing I do when I wake up in the morning, now that I'm older after running to the restroom, is I hit my second thing I do is I make my coffee so I can make sure and tell my wife that I love her. And the third thing I do is I open my mind to be realistic about the day so that I can say, if my mind's open enough, I can hear everything that's happening and I can formulate the right opinion. When I do those three things, I win. And I tell everybody, just like you, and I feel this about you, winners win. You're a winner. So do what it takes, since you're a winner, to win. Those are three things I do every day.
That's awesome. Thanks, Sammy. I had so much fun. Enjoyed the conversation. We have to do this again soon. This has been the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Steve Schaubacher, your host. If you think somebody else could benefit from Sammy's message or any of our other messages, be sure to like our page, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks for tuning in. Bye now.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you.
You bet.
Thank you for listening to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. If you're still listening to this episode, that means you gained some type of value. So if you could share this to a friend, leave a review, and make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.